You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex, and we are coming to you live from the Confloor at BIX 2025, which is the Brooklyn, I'm going to say that right, Independent Comics Showcase. And we're here with Sean Van Gorman, who has not been on the podcast since, 2006?
It's been 11 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think 2015, 2016?
All right. And we tried to keep you off, but it just didn't work.
I got too big for you guys. I became too powerful. Now I do what I want. I go where I please.
Yes. No, but seriously, we had you back when we were doing the live show at Fontana's. And you were saying earlier, I don't know if you were hyping this up too much, but we did the live show. We would do it upstairs, and then you went downstairs to do a gig, right?
So avid listeners will remember, last time I was on, we were talking about my book Toe Tag Riot, where we immediately from the show went straight to a rock show that we were putting together with Kurt Christensen in the basement. Like immediately after, walked off, went straight down to a rock show. So anyone who's been, waiting, it's been 11 years of waiting, we're going to reveal what happened immediately after my last appearance. And it was a really fun show. It was very strange. Kurt Christensen, very eclectic fella for anyone on the scene, knows Kurt. He's a promoter. He's a hustler, getting his stuff together. He put together a fantastic show of different bands, This Good Robot, my bands at the time. But for some reason, he had the show open. I forget the fella's name, but he was the fella who used to do a Jack Kirby presentation. He would go show to show, do a slideshow about Jack Kirby while wearing a cape. And for some reason, he's the guy who opened this rock show. For those who don't know, This Good Robot, very, very popular Long Island band back in the day, had a following. So we had girls there. We had a crowd waiting for this band.
Okay.
So he's doing, and then, people are ready for a rock show, and we're getting a very quiet slideshow presentation about Jack Kirby, which is a great presentation.
Oh, sure.
But people were getting restless.
Yeah.
And then the crowds were getting ugly, where the guys at This Good Robot turned to me and went, "You got to do something. We're losing the crowd." So I go, "Okay, I'll take care of it." So I lean over, but I got too close to his hot mic, and you just heard, "Are we about to wrap it up, up, booming through the audience. He goes, I'm almost finished. And he has not spoken to me since.
Oh, no.
He sees me at shows, doesn't make eye contact.
Oh, man.
But after that, really fun show. And, just a really great night. It was a really fun experience being at the live shows you guys used to do. We've won. Look at how much we've lost in the last 10 years.
I was just saying to somebody earlier, actually, that I love doing our streaming show in a certain way because we don't just have to be on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
We don't have to say to somebody are you going to be in New York on Tuesday night at 7 p.m.? But at the same
shower.
Time. Or shower. Or literally go anywhere.
Wear clothes.
Yeah. But doing something like this, where we're on the COD floor here and actually talking face-to-face, is so much better. Doing something in a weird rock club like Fontana's, which I think closed?
Yeah, I think all those closed. Yeah. Fontana's, Fat Baby. I don't know where. I think it's just Electric the Electric Circus or something. There, yeah. There's all the places we used to play in our bands no longer exists.
Yeah.
So we just do comics now.
It's so much better. The live show, nothing against anybody who's listening online right now for sure, but it is so much better to do it in person. I'm so glad that I was about to say, like, I'm so glad you had a terrible gig. That's not what I meant at all. No. But, like, I'm glad you came on the show. I'm glad you got to do that crazy experience afterwards. That is awesome.
Yeah, no, and it's great to finally be back and to live this life I've led and to come back in this particular moment of my career where it's kind of been two halves of... Mm-hmm. of where I was before, which I consider kind of like on-the-job training for these first 12 years, figuring out what it is people want, and then lockdown happened.
What do they say? You have to work 100,000 hours before you get it? Maybe it's less than that. I'm not 100%.
Well, it's like that's how you get into a union, except there's no union.
Yeah.
There's no vetting in comics. It's you make a comic, welcome, you're in.
Yeah.
Now you're stuck with this.
Well, let's talk about what you are doing now. We are big fans of The Pedestrian that you're doing with Joey Esposito. That comic rules. And
thank you.
This isn't the first book that you've done with Joey. I like both of you guys a lot. But
yeah.
Clearly, like, there's something about this book that has, I think, broken through in a really big way. What do you attribute that to?
I think it's... Joey and I have worked together before, and then we tried working together again. Our first book was The Indie Darling Pawn Shop. That mm-hmm. was a Kickstarter hit where we were looking for $7,000, and we made 10. In the golden age of the first Kickstarter books, we were invited out to the Kickstarter booth at their first booth at New York Comic Con back in the day. And then we're like, okay, we did this. We broke through. Now what's next? And we were trying to get a book called Laser Titans off the ground, which was our love letter to the Super Sentai-inspired shows of, like, Power Rangers and, like, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, that we found ourselves just kind of waiting for permission to work together again. For those of you who don't know, a lot of times when you're making a comic, you put together a pitch where you make as much of the book as you can. You figure out what it's going to be. You put together, you know, maybe a script, a breakdown of what the issues are going to be, and then like a sampling of five or six pages and a cover. So basically all the prep work of doing a series and then sending it to publishers and then waiting for the green light, so to speak, of, okay, you have permission and maybe a little bit of money to do this. And we just never got that second thing. And then a little before lockdown, I had gotten this idea of doing this really weird character who's sort of inspired by the blinking man or don't walk sign. Maybe he's called the pedestrian. He's just a street level costumed hero who has fashioned himself after this blinking white guy in don't walk signs and calling him the pedestrian. And he just walks around in real time and thinking that was just a very strange thing to do. And didn't have much more than that. And then coming to Joey to be like, hey, Joey, can you help me populate this world? Because Joey's a fantastic writer and writes these really fantastic, rich characters. And then this was like late 2019, and then boom, 2020 happens. We find ourselves with some time where we're like, okay, we figured comic shows no longer exist. These are done. What do we do? So we just said, let's just fuck it. We're just make a comic. Let's make the best, weirdest thing we could make as maybe even just like an FU to the industry of like, we're not going to try and make something someone else is going to like. Let's do something that's to our sensibilities that we're passionate about, that there's got to be someone out there who's equally passionate about this. So we worked on it in secret for 1 year. Mm. We did not show anybody this book. And eventually we started showing it to people, and the first people we showed it to were Dean Haspiel and Mike Allred, because we were reaching out to them to do covers, and they both dug it and did covers, and we figured we have something here. And then we started the pitching process of, we showed it to every single publisher looking at pitches at that time. We either had contacts or made contacts, traveled the world, kicked down doors to find who's got that email. Can I show you this? And eventually we realized that the publishers we need don't exist yet. So we made ash cans where we would go to shows with the first six pages of the first scene, where it's a very real world. We're just kind of in this world, except for this one weird thing. There's this fella dressed in all white, sort of like the guy in the Don't Walk sign. There's a mugging that he foils a mugging. Then he gives chase to the mugger, and he crosses the street as the light's about to change, and it's a red light. He can't cross because part of the pedestrian is he never breaks the law to fight crime. He's very rigid with all the rules, and he won't break any rules to help people. And we thought, this is really funny. We sold maybe 300 to 400 copies or gave some to editors or pros of this six-page thing that no one had ever heard of at $10 a pop. So eventually, by the point we got to, you know, Magma Comics became a thing, and Bobby Curnow, who was the editor at the time there, saw me at New York Comic Con and said, hey, if you have any pitches, let me know. Like, well, I still have the pedestrian. He remembered seeing it when he was at IDW, who was like our first publisher we pitched it to. And then eventually Magma picks up the book, and it's really hit in a way that Joey and I have not experienced before. Joey has, you know, gotten to write for like Batman and Superman and Harley Quinn. I've had a couple of fun things of like Star Trek covers and working with different licensed properties. I'm doing a lot of Ghost Machine stuff right now with their covers. But the pedestrian, something is different about this. This has connected in a way we were not expecting. And not to sound like, you know, someone, you know, really fooled himself, but I am very much in a moment where I'm seeing things change and seeing the way conversations are happening. Like, people are emailing me back when I email them. People are coming to me with the answers. They're like, oh, you must know what to do now. And it's, I don't, but we're going to figure this out together.
Well, just to throw something out there in terms of why I think maybe it's connecting with people is possibly the idea of connectedness and togetherness. You know, you were saying that, like, it's funny, it's a goof, it's weird. And that's definitely when you hear the concept or you first read the book or start to read the book, you're like, oh, this is almost an anti-superhero book because he's not really doing anything. He's just crossing the street for the most part at the beginning. But over the course of the book, it becomes clear that what he represents is people together going someplace forward, and the forces that are working against him are people that are telling you to stop, to go backwards, to not do things with other people. And the thing that I think is really interesting about the book, you know, this is not exactly spoilers, this is more thematic spoilers, but you really holistically explore the idea of what it means for somebody to fall into, frankly, what is like a MAGA cult, except in the stop hand guy, who's, why would somebody end up in a place like this? Why would they sign up for this ideology? Is that something that you guys are putting in the book, or am I?
It's very intense. If you know, it's not easy to, it's fairly easy to understand where we're coming from in politics, even though we don't put labels on things. We're just kind of putting out a world where, you know, people are struggling to kind of be people, and corporations have kind of gone out of their way to break up communities and destroy neighborhoods. And there's people who are living without a community. Like, their homes are, you know, everyone's isolated. And this is stuff we were, you know, mindful of as we were working on this in lockdown in 2020. We're talking about, you know, isolation. We're talking about communities being destroyed. Talking about fear and what we're trying to do in the book, in the piece, is maybe show a roadmap of how you, through the connections that these characters are making, because they all start off as individual stories, the characters start to get linked by the pedestrian living in this world and making these small connections with people indirectly, that everyone now has something in common because they all have some connection with this person. And by the end of the first issue, we feel we have the start of a new community where we have five individual stories that gets merged into one story And it is very much an anti superhero story, but we do love superheroes, and we picture this as sort of like our Superman story. Whereas if you take Superman and take away all of the fantastic things about Superman, you just have someone who's just trying to do the right thing all the time. And we think that's very prevalent in this book. It's about a big part of this is about a man who's trying to do the right thing in a world where this is increasingly less prevalent or priority in this world. And how do we combat that? Well, we combat that by finding our friends and joining together and screaming our lungs out at the people who are trying to oppress us. We need to stand together and get organized and say, no, this is not good enough. We're in a world right now that we found a lot of parallels in the making of this, where we thought we were kind of out of the woods for that kind of world, but we finished the last page the eve of the election. And after I turned in that last page, I texted Joey, like, this is going to hit way different than we were expecting it to. Because by the end of the story, we realize that they've won the battle, but, you know, the war has been going on longer than we ever thought, and we're in real trouble here. So there's, at the end of the first volume, there is, you know, a stopping point where we could stop, but there's also a lot more story here where we can tell. But the thesis is, let's work together and build something. Let's build a machine made out of positivity than negativity. It's a lot more difficult to do, but it's a worthy goal. Where, you know, I love, you know, my good friend Matt Rosenberg. His whole thing is he won't dump on things he doesn't like. He only talks about the comics and the projects that he does like, and that's all he's putting into the internet. You know, it's very easy to dump on things you don't like. It's very easy to destroy. It's very difficult to build. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. We need to make a stand and come together.
Well, but at the same time, Matt Rosenberg, and not a lot of people know this, actually has like a burn book, like in Mean Girls, where he writes down all the stuff in comic books that he hates.
Yeah.
And he keeps it in his closet. So if you ever go to his house, you could steal it and you could ruin it.
What I love about Matt Rosenberg, he was my very first person I met doing comics back when he was at Forbidden Planet working retail. I had my first book out, and he was, I was really shameless and insufferable in my younger days of like, hey, Matt, have you moved any Houdinis today? And he was like, no, Sean, I have to sell all the comics. And I knew that he was going to be doing way better than I was in a few years.
Yeah.
And what I really love is that the fame has not changed him. He has the same shorts he had back in 2012.
When you find those good shorts, you got to stick by them. You know, we've been talking pretty seriously about the book, but it's also very funny at the same time. How much of it is you and Joey walking around and being like, yield sign, we could do something with that?
It's very collaborative. We worked in secret with no ego for a year of working out what the story is going to be, what the characters are going to be, and it's hard to say where the line is. Joey will come up with, you know, a full script, and we'll talk about where we're going with it. And then sometimes I'll just wake up with a weird thought, and I'll send him, like, a seemingly drunk manifesto in a very long text message that he'll wake up to one morning. Or I'll send him a very long misspelled Google Doc during the course of the evening. And we'll kind of come to the middle. And if we sometimes have arguments about it, but we come into this project with, let's do the best thing we can make, and the best idea will always win.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. And we were really hoping people would connect with us, but the connection's been so unbelievably powerful. We have people coming to the shows dressed up as the Pedestrian.
That's
we had someone, usually I'll get a heads up, someone I know will be like, hey, we downloaded your Amazon wish list of the project. Here's what you need to build the suit. And it's like, okay, we're not asking people to do this, but we're just putting it out in the world. Like, this is what you need. A couple people have been like, okay, cool, yeah, we'll do that. One guy, I don't know, shows up to Chicago. I'm not from Chicago. He is, with the suit, doesn't have like the logo on it. And he goes, well, you see, my suit isn't finished, so I need you to help me out. So he wanted me to draw the pedestrian's crest on him and then sign him in real time at my table at C2E2. And a buddy of mine saw a pedestrian cosplayer. He's like, I'm sorry, are you a pedestrian cosplayer? And he's like, yes. And he signed me. So that's
awesome.
So we're having a moment here, and we're trying to be aware of the change, and we're trying to enjoy this as it's coming.
Yeah.
And also realizing I'm sure there's going to be another shoe dropping, but we're very excited about what the next year is going to be.
Well, let's talk about that really quickly just before we wrap up. So if people do want to get on board and they don't know about it, The Pedestrian, you can get the first volume, right?
The first volume is in stores. And if you don't live near a comic shop, the first four issues are on Global Comics, or you can order directly through Magma Comics at magmacomics.com.
Awesome. And before we let you go, anything else you want to plug?
Yes, I am doing a lot of covers for Ghost Machine. My first cover for Geiger, number 13, just came out last week. I've got covers for the Rockefellers, Hornsby and Halo, and then I'm doing a series of covers for Hyde Street, working with Ivan Rice and Brad Anderson, that are a bunch of serial cover tributes, because there are serial characters in the Hyde Street world mm-hmm. that they... I didn't know this at the time, but apparently Geoff Johns is a huge fan of like vintage cereal boxes. Like, the team went over to his house during WonderCon, and he has like cereal boxes on display with like proper lighting. So I was like, oh, this is something. And then I also have a new book coming out through Z2 Comics, loosely based on the life of the legendary artist Cool Keith, called Cool Keith Cool Keith Enter the Flower Cosmic, that I did with Esoteric of Czarface. That's going to be out for San Diego. And then a very weird thing that we just signed a contract for that I can't talk about yet. But the 90s are going to be back in a big way, and they're going to be here to stay.
Awesome. Sean, thank you so much for coming on. Next time in Fontana's, I guess.
I will see you in 12 years.
High Volume, Batman. The Dark Knight's definitive DC Comics stories. Adapted directly for audio for the very first time.
Fear. I have to make them afraid.
He's got a motorcycle. Get after him or I'll have you shot.
You mean blow up the building?
From this moment on, none of you are safe.
New episodes every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.